Psalm 61. We'll read Psalm 61. This is the psalm that gives the answers. There's several psalms. There's over six or seven psalms where David writes while in the condition of being overwhelmed. Sometimes he complains. Sometimes he talks about the symptoms of being overwhelmed. But Psalm 61 is where we get the answers. And we'll do a little review and then we'll get into the main subject tonight. Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, God, for your goodness, your sweetness to us. And Lord, this is just one of those rubber meets the road subjects. This is reality. There's no use sugarcoating it. There's no use trying to act as if it doesn't happen. Lord, David, as good a Christian as he was, as strong a man as he was, a great a warrior, and a man that was after your own heart, God, yet there were times when he was completely enveloped in the darkness. He was overwhelmed. He didn't know where to go, what to do. He didn't know his left hand from his right hand. He went through all of the symptoms of a man that's overwhelmed, enveloped, shrouded by the darkness, satanic attack. Lord, I pray, dear God, that we would learn from him and that we would learn from Psalm 61. Prepare us, Lord, or maybe rescue us, depending on where we're at now in our Christian walk. I pray that you'd give us some insight, Lord. Help us to get a big picture here tonight, a bigger picture, and Lord, maybe for a few minutes escape the here and now of being overwhelmed and take a broader view of what's happening in our lives. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen, and you may be seated. About an hour ago, I'd say just about exactly an hour ago, maybe an hour and 10 minutes ago, the phone rang in my office, and a man that lives here in the area said, Brother Ross, you don't know me. I was driving this morning in my car. I never listened to 89.3 FM, but I was flipping through the channels, and I came upon your message, and this would have been the one that was preached on being overwhelmed last Sunday. He said, I only caught about 15 minutes of it, but I literally pulled over and parked the car. He said, I'm a Christian. He said, the honeymoon's over. He said, I thought when I got saved I wouldn't have any more problems. He said, when I heard you say, you get to the point where you want to run, you want to flee, you want to quit. He said, I know what you're talking about. He said, all of the things that you were telling on there is happening in my life. And there's a close friend of mine who's also a Christian, but he's going through the same thing. He said, I called him up and I said, I got to talk to you about this. I've got something I heard this morning. He said, but the problem is, I don't need 15 minutes of that message. I need all of that message. Can you send it to me? And I said, if you got all of last Sunday's message, you would be sorely disappointed. And I told him, I said, that was an introductory message. We're going to deal with this 3 Sundays in a row. And I said to him, if you'll give me your address, I said, tomorrow morning, and whoever's in the tape room, I need help on this. I said, I'll send you last Sunday mornings, last Sunday nights, this Sunday mornings, and I'll preach tonight, and I'll ask the men in the tape room to get me a CD. And I'll send you all 4 of them, and then I'll keep your address, and we'll send you the last one next Sunday morning. Folks, what I'm saying is this. This is a reality. This is a reality. You'd be surprised, honestly. By the way, folks, that's why we ought to try to go out our way to be kind to each other. You know, folks walk in here, they put a smile on their face because you're supposed to, and you know what? There's something to that, by the way. There's something to that. But that doesn't mean that people that are walking around here smiling aren't going through valleys. You just don't know that the Christian that's sitting beside you or in front of you or behind you might be going through, honestly, the darkest chapter of their Christian life. They may be hanging on by a thread. Remember that when you're interacting. Remember that when you're dealing with God's people and God's children. Amen. Be careful how you treat God's children. Okay? And just understand it. That's the truth of it. That's the truth of it. Now, like I said, we shouldn't live there, and God doesn't want us to live there. But the reality is that we're going to have those times. What does it mean? And why are we talking about the word overwhelmed? Let me just review quickly. If you look at this word, David, King David, is the only one that God used to write about the subject as far as using the specific word overwhelmed. However, we see many great Christians in the Bible reach this point in their life. The word overwhelmed here means to shroud, to be clothed, to be covered in darkness, to languish, to fail, to faint, to be feeble, to be overwhelmed, to swoon. And there's times when you haven't changed anything. I'm not talking about a Christian that's gone into deep sin. I'm not talking about it. I'm talking about you haven't changed anything. You know what? You still were praying. You pray like you always have. You read your Bible and you're coming to church. But all of a sudden, you know what? You are oppressed with a darkness that you can't figure out. You can't understand. The Bible, when you used to read it, meant so much. And now you read it and it's like nothing happens. You pray and you used to feel like you find God. And all of a sudden you get into this darkness and it seems like that those things aren't happening. The world wants to call it depression. I don't think that's necessarily a bad word, but for the Christian, the Bible word is overwhelmed. David in Psalms 55 gives us the symptoms. David in Psalms 55 told in that psalm that he had become convinced that God had forsaken him. He felt divinely forsaken. He felt utter sadness and despair. And I'm just reviewing now. Number three, he began to believe that it was people around him that was the problem. Everyone's against me. Nobody understands. Nobody loves me. Nobody cares. I'm all alone. Then we begin to see David talk about physical maladies, psychological maladies. This began to affect his body, where he would have symptoms, physical symptoms. And I say that I believe when Christians go through this, sometimes they go to the doctor and the doctor looks at them as if to say, I don't know what's wrong with you. There's really no reason for what you're telling me. There's no physical reason for this. He talked about the psychological darkness. He talked about despair. He talked about sleeplessness in Psalm 77:4. He spoke of losing of one's appetite, not wanting to eat. And then I concluded with number five, the fifth symptom, the desire to flee, the desire to hide. And I read this because I think it's so pertinent. This is what it builds to. It says in verse 6 of Psalm 55, and I said, oh, that I had wings. Oh, that I had wings like a dove, and then would I fly away and be at rest. Oh, then would I wander off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. And this is what the problem is, and this is where we get to when we are overwhelmed. We get to the point where, you know what, and this is exactly what this man said to me on the phone. He said, Brother Jerry, when you were talking about wanting to flee, wanting to get out, wanting to just quit and walk away, he said, I've watched Christians that served God for decades get to a point where they just, for no seeming reason, just quit and just disappear, fall off the face of the earth as far as in God's Word. Preachers that just walk away from ministries. Husbands that walk away from wives. Wives walk away from husbands. Teenagers that seem like they're doing so good, all of a sudden, just almost overnight, it seems like they go off the deep end, something. Listen, folks, listen to me very carefully. This is a reality. There's times when Satan is going to pull out all the stops, and there is going to be what I mentioned and I explained that happened to Jesus on the cross. If you want a Bible illustration of this, there was three hours of utter darkness while Christ was on the cross. The darkness just came, and it was a darkness a man could feel. This was a satanic presence. And I told you, if we're going to be crucified with Christ, why would we think that that's not part of the crucifixion process in our life? God sometimes opens the hedges. God gives Satan that dark access to his children. God does it because there's some things you're only going to learn going through the darkness. Now, God doesn't put you there so that you'll stay there. He puts you there so He can take you through it and so that you can come out and know some things. Remember that. I don't care whether or not you can see the light right now on. You press on because you'll come out into the light. But God's going to let you listen. If He let His own Son stay in the darkness till He got to the point where He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why do we think we'd never be at that point in our Christian life? And so that's the reality of it. And hopefully we've been able to give you some steps here that we find in Psalm 61. We talked about number one, kneel down. Lord, bow the knee. That was good. I was about to have a spell back there when she was singing that. Something tells me somebody wrote that song when they were being overwhelmed. Something tells me somebody wrote that song maybe when they popped out the other end and came into the light. And by the way, when you get this and understand this and realize it, you're going to start singing a lot of your hymns and realize that most songs were written by someone while they were in utter darkness or coming back into the light. I mean, that's where God does the miraculous. That's where God does things in our life that are inspired, divinely inspired. That's where He shows Himself strong. You'll never forget those times in your life. And it will strengthen you if you'll do what God wants you to do and respond correctly. Kneel down. The first thing that we see David do is hit his knees. This is talking about submitting to what God's allowing to happen in your life. Saying, Lord, if I need broken, break me. Lord, whatever you're trying to do, I want you to know it's okay and I want you to do it. God, no matter how hard it is, just as long as I still have you, whatever you need to do, do it in my life. But don't forsake me. Kneel down. Submit to what God's trying to do in your life. We talked about the military, the preparation of soldiers. I mentioned Brother Tim Sagercy mentioning when he went to the boot camp in the Marine Corps, he said they send you to the boot camp for one reason, to break you. And you know what? If you're not broken, you're never going to be a good Marine. If you're not broken, you're never going to be a good soldier. And that's just part of the process. God has to break us if we're going to be what we ought to be in the battle that we're in. Number two, we talked about this, cry out. And we see David crying out. Remember, last Sunday night, I taught you how to pray Psalms 143 and encourage you to pray Psalms 143. Psalm 143 is the prayer that ought to be prayed during times of being overwhelmed. I'm encouraging you to memorize. I'm encouraging you to practice praying Psalm 143. You're going to need that. Put a mark somewhere. You're going to need that. Number three, we talked this morning about seeking hard after God. Verse 61, or chapter 61, verse 2, the end there says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from thine enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Now, folks, listen, these aren't just points in a sermon. This is actions that must be taken. If you're going to get out of the darkness, if you're going to survive being overwhelmed, you say, well, Brother Jerry, I thought one of the symptoms was the fact that you feel forsaken of God. Yes, you're not going to feel like praying, but you have to pray anyway. You're not going to feel like reading your Bible, but read it anyway. Well, I don't get anything, then read another chapter. Well, I didn't get anything again, then read another chapter. Listen, get a hold of the angel of God and say, I will not let thee go unless thou bless me. Folks, there's the old times used to talk about praying through. We need to learn what it is to pray through. Sometimes it's not a matter of just getting on your knees for a couple minutes, 15 or 20 minutes. Sometimes it's a matter of getting on your knees, not getting up till God does something real in your life. God, you've got to bless me. You've got to meet with me or I'm not going to make it through this day. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to see God in a way that you've never seen before. Seek hard after God. Start climbing. When you get to God, seek shelter in His presence. Learn to trust Him like you've never trusted Him before. And then we spoke this morning on this. Remember your vows. Remember your vows. Psalm 61:5. I'm going to read that verse because I'm going to preach out of the second half of that verse tonight. For Thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Listen, folks, make vows in the light. And the reason that it's important that we make vows is because when you get into the darkness, you know what? The only thing that's probably going to guide you through is the promises that you have made to Almighty God in your life. Brother Jerry, I don't know what to do. Well, what did you promise God you would do? Well, I don't know if I can. Now listen, I've made some promise. I made some vows in my youth. I made some vows during those hard years of Bible college. I made some vows early in the ministry during the battles. I've made some vows as a father and some vows as a husband. And you know what? I thank God. Don't shy away from making vows. Make some promises. And there ought to be some things we're willing to promise God. And make it during times of light. Make it up on the mountain time. Make it during times of revival. Make them when God's strong in your life. Because there's going to be times where you don't even know which way to go or what to do. You're not going to know your left hand from your right. You're going to get up and you're going to say, I don't know what to do. And there's going to be a voice that says, this is what you do. You fulfill your vows. You pay your vows. Well, we're going to church. Why are we going to church? Because I promised we'd go to church. Do you feel like it? No. Do you understand why? No. All I know is I'm going to church. You know, I'm going soul winning. Well, why? I mean, look what's going on. I don't care. I made some promises to God. You know, remember your wedding promises. Listen, that's the time to stay married. That's the time to stay committed. And remember the vows you've made. Don't be afraid to make vows to God in the light, because you're going to need them. And sometimes you're going to say, I don't know what to do. I am so lost, I don't know what to do. All I know is this. Over the course of my life, I promised God these five things. And I'm going to keep doing these five things. And I'm going to do them today, and I'm going to do them tomorrow, and I'm going to do them the next day. And if you'll do that, the keeping those vows will keep you on the right path and the right road, and they will lead you back into the light. People and Christians who will not make promises, God will not make vows during the mountaintop experiences, during times when God shows up in a church service. Listen, it is a big thing if God shows up in a church service and tells you you need to go up to the altar and you need to drive a snake and you need to make a decision about that. Well, I don't need to make a vow. I don't need to make a promise about that. I'm always going to do that. I don't have a problem with that. Well, you don't then, but there may be a day you do. And what will keep you doing right is fulfilling of your vows. Now, quickly, let's go on. I spent maybe a little bit too much time reviewing, but this next point will not take a lengthy amount of time. Please listen. Psalm 61, verse 5 says this, For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Now, number four, yes, you should remember your vows. But number five, listen to this. During times when you're overwhelmed, it's important that you revisit your heritage. Revisit your heritage. Now, let's decide what that is. We had to this morning define what a vow was, see what the Bible said about a vow. We're going to spend a little bit of time doing the same so we know that what we're talking about is biblical, that it's scriptural. What is a heritage? You think you know what a heritage is? Heritage is something. Let me give you the definition, and we'll look at some scriptures that'll clarify this. A heritage is that which is received, then possessed, then given, and that's the process. And heritage is something that's received. There's a time in your life when you receive it. There's a space of time that you possess it. And there's a time that you've got to give it. Pass it on. And that is so important. Now you think about the impact of this. It is so important that you walk, do a mental walk down that timeline during the times that you're overwhelmed. Because you have an heritage that God has given you. Now, let me show you that this is true in David's life. And we're going to stay in Psalms and we're going to look at verses written by David. David understood what a heritage was. He realized there was some things that God had given him. There was a time when he received them. There was going to be a time period where he possessed them. But there was also going to be a time when he had to pass them on. And you know what, folks? You can't afford to quit during times where you're being overwhelmed, because you're going to break your responsibilities concerning your heritage. There's some fundamental things that help Christians go on when they don't feel like going on, and I'm going to talk to you about what those things are tonight. We're going to see this. David said, I had to have a goodly heritage. Now, Psalm 61, verse 5, notice this. It says, Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. So here we see David looking back and remembering when he received it. Thou hast given me. That's talking about when he received the heritage of the Lord. The heritage given to those that fear the name of the Lord. So here we see David receiving it. Now quickly, Psalm 16. Let's go back there. Psalm 16. He said in verse 5, Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Now, in Psalm 16, verse 6, he wrote these words, "The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places, yea," notice this, "I have a goodly heritage." So a heritage is something that you at some point receive. David referenced that in Psalm 61. In Psalm 16, he's talking about he now possesses this heritage. It's his for a while. And then, if you will, go to Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Now we're going to see David looking down the corridors of the future and realizing that there is another generation coming up. Psalm 127, verse number 3 says this, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. As arrows are in the hand of mighty men, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." And here we see the word heritage associated with the upcoming generation. Now, listen to me. Every single one of us that are saved have gone through this process. There was a day where God gave us a goodly heritage. We received it of the Lord. If you're here today and you're saved, you received from God a goodly heritage. There's an inheritance that you have, and you received it from God. Now, for a while, you're going to possess it. You're going to have it. You're going to have to do some things with it, or don't do some things with it. But there's going to be a day that whatever you have done with it and whatever's left of it is all you're going to have to hold, to hand down to the next generation. And so let me talk to you about that. I'm talking about this is important to go back and think about this when you're being overwhelmed. Sister Patty, there's been times, I guarantee you, when you've been overwhelmed. But one of the things that kept you doing right is sitting right beside you right there. "Oh, Brother Jerry, I don't feel like it anymore." Well, you better think about some things. First of all, why don't you take some time to think about those that gave it to you. Why don't you take some time to think about those that are waiting to receive it from your hand. I mean, folks, this is big time stuff. Now, let me break this down, all right? Let's look at these three areas of receiving, possessing, and giving. Number one, think back to what you have received. When you're being overwhelmed, you need to take some time to think back over what you have received. Now, when I go through this process, and boy, this is a good mental exercise, whether or not you're being overwhelmed or not. Let me just say this. As you're going back and looking at your heritage, number one, think back to what you have received. Who did God use to give it to you? Who did God use to give it to you? For many of you in this room, let me say this. The heritage of the Lord, the inheritance that comes from God, was given to you by your parents. That was at least the instrument that God used in your life to give you a godly heritage. But that's not true of everybody in this room. Some people say, "You know what? I received my godly heritage from my mom, from my dad." Well, I want you to think about that for a moment before you decide to bail. I want you to think about that for a moment before you decide to quit. I want you to think about that for a minute before you throw all that away in a time of despair and discouragement. I want you to think about that. There's somebody that got something from God, and they took good stewardship of it, and they built upon it, and they preserved it, and they meticulously handed it to you. And there's going to be times where you're tempted to throw it all away because you're just going through one of those times. There's going to be a time when Satan's going to say, "Listen, forget it. Just leave. Just get away from it. Just quit." But I think you ought to take a moment and think about who God used to give it to you. For others, it wasn't a mom and dad. I'm not saying your mom and dad didn't teach you some good character. I'm not saying they didn't give you some things that have helped you in life. But as far as the Lord as an inheritance, the Lord and the things of God as a heritage, that didn't come from your mom and dad. But you know what? There was somebody God used. There was somebody that God used in your life to get you to Jesus Christ. There were some people that God used in the early days of your life when you didn't even know what it was. I mean, you knew you were saved, but you didn't even know what all that meant. That somebody used God used some people to encourage you. God used a preacher to help you. God used a godly Sunday school teacher to spend some time with you. I mean, God used some Christians to mentor you. And what I'm saying is this, in the darkness, folks, you're going to want to throw it all away, but there's something about a heritage that's important here. There's something about what we do with the heritage. And now listen, the first thing is remember you received it from somebody. Now remember who God used to give you this godly inheritance. Remember the circumstances. Remember the miracle that God performed in getting the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. You know, there's people already in heaven, and their rewards, long-term rewards, are dependent upon you staying faithful. There's that great cloud of witnesses. And even in the darkness, if you'll stop and close your eyes and remember the faces of those that have gone on that at one time was there to help you and encourage you, if you'll listen hard, you can hear their voices from heaven saying, "I know it's hard, don't quit. When do you get up here, you're not going to believe it. What you're going through is temporary. There is light at the end of the tunnel. Hang in there. Stay in there. Listen, we gave our lives so that you could receive what you had. And somebody before us gave their lives so that we could receive. And somebody before them gave their lives so that they could receive it. And don't be the one that drops the baton. Don't be the one that drops the baton." So remember the circumstances. I mean, this is why it's so important, I think, that we go back during times of darkness and just go back to the day we were saved. Go back to the basics. Revisit the places. Listen, in times where you're being overwhelmed, sometimes that's the time to get in a car and drive over to the spot where you got saved. Go pick up the phone if that person's still on this planet and say, "Listen, I'm going through a tough time. And you know, I was sitting here going through Psalm 61 and you were instrumental in introducing me to a godly heritage. I just need to hear your voice. I just need to talk to you." Sometimes you need to visit people. Sometimes you need to visit places. You do what you need to do, but listen, take some time and look at your heritage. I'm going to move on quickly. Number one, think back to what you've received. All right, number two, now this is important. Look at what you now possess. Look at what you now possess. Now I'm going to use an illustration here. And I hate to use a materialistic illustration, but I think maybe we'll understand it. There's families that have passed down an inheritance. And let's talk about Grandpa for a minute. Let's say that Grandpa, and boy, there was a whole generation of people that landed on the shores of this country, and they showed up, and you know what? They didn't have two nickels to rub together. But somebody told them there was a place called America, and if you go there and work hard and you're frugal and use some sense, that you know what, you can maybe not prosper all that much in your lifetime, but boy, you can give your kids some things and an opportunity and pass down an opportunity that they're never going to have it if they stayed where they were. So the shores were flooded. If you ever get a chance to go to New York, you ought to go to Statue of Liberty. You ought to go to Ellis Island. You ought to remember some things, see some things. Look at the faces of the pictures there. You know what they did? They took a risk. They took a chance. They lived very humbly. But you know what? They saved every dime they could make, and they had some children. And when they passed on, they said, "You know what? It's not a ton, but here's something that we didn't have." And it's not an end, it's just a means to go farther. And honestly, in most cases, that next generation who had watched mom and dad work and sacrifice and knew all that they paid, they took that and they looked at what they had in their hand, what they now possessed, and they looked at it with reverence and they treated it sacredly and they said, "My mom and dad gave their lives so that I could have this opportunity. And they didn't give this to me to squander. They give this to me so that I could build upon it." And so they took that, and they used it as a foundation, and they did the same thing their parents did and worked and saved and was frugal and built upon what was given to them. And they raised a generation of children. And somewhere, whether it was the third generation or the fourth generation, inevitably, there will be a generation that gets handed something that they never worked for. And you know what? They'll look at it. They'll look at it with different eyes. They won't see all the work. They won't see all the sacrifice. They won't see the battles. They won't see the going without. You know what they see? They see Easy Street. Now, you've got to decide what you're going to do with your inheritance. I want you to listen to me. If your parents have worked hard all their lives and accumulated some things and they leave you an inheritance, God bless you. But they didn't leave you that so that you could squander it. There's children that get a lifetime of mom and dad's sacrifice, and in 6 months, they'll run through it and waste it. That was their whole life. That was their whole life. They didn't give that to you for you. They give that to you for their great-grandchildren. But we've got a generation that says, hey, oh, really? Good. Let's go shopping. Good, let's go buy. Let's go on vacations. Let's squander. Let's have fun. Let's party. And they squander away a lifetime of sacrifice, a lifetime of work. Now David thought back of how he received it, and now it was in his possession, and folks, he had the power to do with it whatever he wanted to do. But he said, listen, I now possess, I have a goodly heritage, and I wasn't handed this to squander it. I was given this so that it could be used. I was given this as a foundation to build upon it. I was given this so that it can be expanded. I was given this so that one of these days I'll be able to not only hand this on down, but more with it on down. Now I've given you that physical, that material illustration, but folks, spiritually that is exactly what this is talking about. Some of you have grandparents that were saved out of the world. Or great-grandparents that were saved out of the world. And you know what? Maybe they didn't know a whole lot. Maybe they didn't know everything that we know today. But you know what? Everything they could learn from the Bible, they tried to do it. And they did the best they can. And they tried to live godly. And they put God first. And they tried to live by the precepts of the Bible. And you know what? They handed that to the next generation. And you know what? They built on that and expanded that. And thank God for what they've given us. And I don't want to just be what my mom and dad was spiritually. I want to. They didn't give this to me so that I could be satisfied or wasted or squandered. I want to build on that. I want to go deeper and farther. I want to live a more dedicated life. And I want to make them proud, and so that there's more of an inheritance to give to my kids. And then there comes this knucklehead generation along. And they spit on everything that people have spent lifetimes accumulating to hand them. Now what I'm saying is this. When a lot of times does those heritages get thrown away? During the times that you're overwhelmed. That's just hard. Well, you know what? Can I share this with you? It was hard for Grandpa. But he persevered. Brother Jerry, it's dark. Well, it was dark for Daddy. But he persevered. It was dark for Mom, but it was. You don't think they were ever overwhelmed? You think there weren't times they wanted to quit? You know what? They cared not just about where they got it. They didn't just take it and squander it. They thought about one of these days of handing it down, and they weren't going to one of these days stand there empty-handed, not giving you a Christian heritage. Now you've got to decide what you're going to do with it. Brother Jerry, I don't know if I can. Let me give you something wonderful, and I hope this will be an encouragement to you tonight. Go over to Isaiah chapter number 54. Now, if you now possess a goodly heritage, you have to be very careful what you do with it. It's not given to you to squander. It's not given there for you to throw it away. And I don't care how dark and how discouraged you may be, let me say this, you need to remember and revisit that heritage and understand the importance of what you possess. Now let me give you some encouragement. Isaiah 54. Here is the heritage that you possess. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Notice this. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Now, why did David say back in the midst of being overwhelmed in Psalm 61, thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name? Because he understood that part of the package of the heritage is that you are spiritually invincible as a servant of the Lord. Huh? Yeah. Let me say this. Satan can't defeat you. Not because I'm powerful, but because I have a goodly heritage. I have a godly heritage. The Lord is my inheritance. You know what? The only one that can defeat you is you. The only way Satan wins is if we surrender. You don't know how many times as a preacher of the gospel I've gone to Isaiah 54 verse 17 and I put my hand on that verse and I said, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue shall rise up against thee in judgment. Thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. God, you commanded me and called me to serve you. I'm serving you with all my heart. The tongues are wagging and the weapons are being built, but I'm not going to sweat it. You know why? Because I have a heritage. I have a heritage. Now, I don't care what Satan has unleashed on you. I don't care what weapons of war he's trying to use against you. I don't care who's talking and saying what. It doesn't make a difference. You stand firm with God. But Brother Jerry, it's dark. Yeah, but you have a goodly heritage. Don't squander it. Listen, it's not there to use and throw away. It's there to be expanded and built upon. Why? Well, that brings us to number three. Number one, think back to what you've received. Number two, look at what you now possess. And number three, think ahead to what you will pass on. Now, here's my fear, and I can give you the sub-points here. This is the thoughts that God gave me. Here's some questions. Will your children be denied a Christian heritage? Will your children receive a diminished heritage, Christian heritage? You know, a remodeled carnal model of what was given to you. Will your children receive a goodly heritage? Are you going to be there one of these days to say, not only am I going to give you what Mom and Dad gave me and Grandma and Grandpa gave me, but I'm going to give you something that's been built upon that, something that's even more than they gave you, stronger, more dedicated, more of the heart of God, more than what I was given. I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you that opportunity. Now, here's what you're going to have to understand. Roger, I'm 25 and I'm going through the darkness. My children are little. Yeah, but they're not always going to be little. Now, I can't get this person's face out of my mind. Elderly lady. Young lady. Comes to me after church. Not in this church. Another church. Came to me after church one day, tears streaming down her face. Brother Jerry, would you go see my sons? Would you go see my sons? Why? They're lost. Well, they are. Yes, Brother Jerry, you see me and my husband, we got saved young. We had children in church young. But you know what? Some things went awry and we went through some hardship and some hard times and we were a little bit disillusioned and disappointed. And you know what they went through? They went through the darkness. They got overwhelmed. And during the midst of being overwhelmed, we walked away from God's house. We walked away from our godly heritage. And for the next 15 years, we didn't step foot in church. And they grew up and they left and they were grown for the most part outside of the house of God. We got busy making money and building buildings and tearing down our barns and building greater barns. And yeah, we have some things and we've got a nice home. But you know what, Brother Jerry? Like, my boys are lost, Brother Jerry. My boys are lost. Will you go see my boys? I guarantee you that lady would have taken everything that they owned and traded it in for a chance to go back into the darkness and make the right decision and not throw away a heritage. So you're a young couple. I know the temptations. I know it's hard sometimes, but those babies that are set beside you aren't always going to be babies. And you need to be there strong during their growing up years so you can hand them as they walk out the door a goodly heritage. I've raised my kids. Hallelujah. Now I think I'll quit. No, you can't. You can't. You know why you can't? Because God gives you something called grandkids. And when you get them grandkids, you say, you know what? They're going to receive something from Papa and Grandma. They're going to receive something. I want them to receive everything that God wants them to receive. I want them to receive not just the inheritance that I took and squandered and wasted and tried to patch up at the last minute and halfway hand to them. I want to give them a goodly heritage. I want them during their dark times to be able to say, you know what, Grandpa went through dark times, but he stood. And if God helped Grandpa, God can help me. Mom and Dad went through tough times, but they stood. If God can help them, they can help me. And you know what? I'm going through tough times, but if I give in and give up, what about my children? What about my grandchildren? So God says in the midst of this to David, and David reflects this in the Psalms, you got to revisit your heritage during the times where you're being overwhelmed. It's what you received. It's what you now possess. What are you going to one day give? Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll take this simple thought, but this profound truth. Lord, this is a darkness truth. This is a truth that will help you, help us, Lord, when we're shrouded and when we're covered, when we're overwhelmed. Lord, I pray that this will encourage someone tonight. Lord, so many decisions are made in darkness that later on are regretted in the light. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to let you do your full work in our lives during the times when we're going through these dark times. May we, Lord, present one day to those that will follow us a goodly heritage. And Lord, I pray that you'll take these truths and bind them to our heart tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.